ready, gentlemen. Brace yourselves. This is it. 3, 2, 1.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Team Awesome Morning Party. It is Hump Day.
Hump Day. We got a great show for you guys today.
Yes, we do. Shock Therapy Live, of course, rolls your way in the 9 o'clock hour with Pastor Nate Heitzig. Dude, Comics Corner today?
Yep.
I'm excited. A lot of great comics.
Great stories coming up, too. We got some stories about Lady Gaga giving some advice to somebody she saw singing in a church.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
And one of the most fantastic pictures I've ever seen, it's a little weasel riding on a woodpecker. Somebody posted it on our Facebook yesterday. I think it was Celeste, but it was amazing.
Amazing. Oh, man. Yeah, you can expect that and so much more on Team Awesome Morning Party today. Oh, speaking of church service, tonight, special expound service at Calvary Albuquerque. Skip's going to be doing a recap about his trip to Iraq with Reload Love. They just got back from being over there. You can expect video footage, photos. Skip's going to be filling us in on what's happening on the ground in areas where ISIS is actually active. They were out there in, like, hot spots.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a special prayer time following the message. And, of course, you can expect more than that, too. So, standard service time tonight. It's going to be kicking off at 7 p.m. right here at Calvary Albuquerque. It's going to be broadcast, of course, on Static Radio, like we do week in and week out. But it's going to be a very special expound service at Calvary Albuquerque. Get here 7 p.m. tonight, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. You can check out all the details on that at calvaryabq.org. You ready, buddy?
I'm ready.
We got a good show today.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So coming up, we got some Alabama shakes, but to get you there, it is a culture shock from our boys in Angels and Airwaves. Yeah. Happy Wednesday. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Let the broadcasting of the disturbed continue.
Time for more from Team Awesome Morning Party on Static Radio.
Enjoy the show.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
We interrupt for this breaking news.
Good morning, everybody. It's March 4th, 2015, and it's time for breaking news.
Let's get
to it. Interesting story coming out of Pennsylvania this morning. Lady Gaga was at a Sunday church service.
Oh, snap.
Now, here's what we didn't know.
Well, we knew she's a lady.
We knew she was a lady, believe it or not.
Lady Gaga.
But the thing was, okay, what's this girl's name? A girl who is a huge Lady Gaga fan.
Okay.
Was singing the special at church that day. So, she gets up there, and she's getting ready to sing, and then all of a sudden she is told, hey, Lady Gaga and her boyfriend are in the audience. And so then she posted a message on Facebook saying, you guys, today I'm playing a song I composed at church. Okay, she was singing and playing piano. Lady Gaga is in the congregation. Lady Gaga. Send prayers, please. It's interesting. What would you do?
Right. Like what, your hero is in the crowd?
Right. So her job is to play upbeat music for the service. It included an original song, He Is Coming. She wrote it for Christmas Eve.
Okay.
And it's about how Bethlehem is still pertinent today.
Nice.
So she was super nervous before and after the service. And she says when she started playing, her professional instincts just took over.
That's good, man.
It's always good to be professional.
For real.
You want those instincts to come in if
yes,
they can,
do.
If at all possible. she said during the song, it's like Lady Gaga wasn't even there. And then people from the church told her that Lady Gaga whispered to her boyfriend, who was with her at church that day, that it was really good. And then she got a personal message from Lady Gaga after the fact. I guess that her number had been given out through someone else. And she says, hi, Liz. It's Gaga. You were sensational. Keep up the amazing work.
Wow. That's
pretty cool.
Cool, man.
Gave her advice on her music career. Very generous and very, you know, and we know Lady Gaga is like a songwriter at heart.
Yeah.
She's more than just the crazy
more
personality.
Than just a poker face.
More than just a poker face. Always. Anyway, she's like a songwriter. She just did an album with Tony Bennett and
yeah.
It's, you know, she performed at which was it the Oscars?
Yeah,
and it was incredible, and everybody was like, "Whoa, Lady Gaga's legit!"
Sound and Music 50th anniversary, she performed, and it was absolutely incredible. So there are a lot of people, a lot of haters. I'm not a Lady Gaga fan.
Yeah,
but it was
she can sing,
very impressive. And so
the question is, what would you do if you found out that that somebody you really looked up to, like as a musical icon, was just sitting in the audience, and then here you go about to play?
I always had a hard time, even when like you know Waverly or any of my musician friends would come into town for the weekend and want to come to church because I'm you know worship leader, and so I'd be like, oh man, I got real musicians in the crowd,
right? Right.
I gotta like for you guys, the first time you went out on tour with like a Reliant K or something, were you ever nervous?
Oh, because dude, my first Reliant K, the first tour I did with House of Heroes was with Reliant K. I was a bundle of nerves for the first week.
Because you're like, dude, they are totally watching me play.
It was rough. Yeah, especially because they all knew I was nervous. Yeah. So Ethan and John and Matt Hoops, and I don't think Teason was
Matt,
out there.
They
were all out
John,
there, especially Ethan. Ethan was picking on me, man. He would just watch me and he'd just shake his head.
Ethan Luck, who's now a guitar player for
Kings of Leon. Right, he's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing decent.
The funny thing is that you can speak to him about his bundle of nerves his first time he played with Kings of Leon.
Oh, man.
Now, of course, the difference being that Ethan's an incredible musician, and he totally nailed it.
Yeah, dude, amazing. And then how about the time where he was playing with Kings of Leon, and he was rocking keys, and then Chris Martin came on stage and played keys facing him. And they all sang harmonies, and I can't even fathom stuff like that. So
different layers of nerves.
So, the funny thing is, it just goes to show everybody's human.
It's true.
We all deal with it in different ways. But that was very cool of Gaga to
send
her
a
little text message.
It was very sweet. And speaking of sweet, dig in, guys, because it's National Pancake Day.
What?
IHOP has declared today, March 3rd, yesterday. Sorry.
Has declared.
It's over.
It's over, guys.
It's already over. It started and it ended before you could take one scrumptious bite.
Dang it! I love pancakes!
But it's okay. Like other made-up celebrations, there's really no rhyme or reason why yesterday was National Pancake Day, but be on the lookout next year. It's March 3rd. I got really buttered up by that story and now I'm totally let down. I gotta be honest.
Incredible.
I was stoked about National Pancake Day.
I was too.
We try to bring you guys great stories about criminals that are idiots because apparently we are idiots too and don't know when not to be. But today we found a pretty good one. This coming out of Connecticut. Police say they arrested a man for trying to steal a car at a convenience store. Here's the difference. This criminal got shut down because he couldn't drive a stick shift. If you're going to be a car thief, let's just talk about it quickly.
Yes, because yesterday we were driving by a sign, and you saw this sign that said APD bait car in the area.
Yeah.
And it was like, what is that?
What is a bait car?
Yeah, they leave them around town. It's like, yo, check out this ride, dog. You should steal it. It's got hidden cameras. We're watching you.
I don't understand the concept. Like, why, if you were a criminal, if you were a car thief, and you saw that sign anywhere.
Right.
Within, like, miles.
Yeah.
Why would you steal a car in that neighborhood?
Well, you're a car thief, so...
At that point, is it, like, adrenaline-based? Are you like, oh, dude, if I can pull this off, I'm going to be the
fool.
Best. Yeah. I'm about to act a fool up in here.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this guy, Troy Matthews, he's 25 years old. He was charged after a brief foot chase. The problem with his whole thing... He couldn't drive a stick shift. He entered a store, exited, got into a customer's car that was in the parking lot, and then couldn't go any further.
But that helps cops everywhere because it made it easy for them to arrest.
It's true. And I guess he had been arrested weeks earlier for trying to steal a different car. I just want to give out a little word of advice to any car thieves out there. Not every car is automatic.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a professional car thief, which I highly discourage you from doing so because it's wrong, number one. And number two, there's no way you're going to live your life. Yeah. Go watch Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah.
You're going to run up on the law at some point.
Absolutely.
But in the very least, you should at least learn how to drive a stick shift. I mean, why not, right?
Everybody had to. When I was 13, I was in the parking lot of a grocery store. My mom's trying to teach me how to drive. the worst.
The worst is when you're in a stick shift and you have to park on a hill at a red light.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to go.
Yeah.
And inevitably... and then you're like, oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's what used to always
happen
to me.
Now I actually prefer that.
Yeah.
My next car, I must have a manual transmission.
You must have a manual. Yeah. And it's better on gas mileage.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
It's good.
Well, here's another story. And this is of the creepy variety.
Gosh.
And this comes out of Phoenix.
Yeah.
You have family in Phoenix.
I do have family in Phoenix.
I guess some firefighters had to rappel down a cave and rescue a woman. I don't think this was a cave of wonders.
Okay.
She went off of a trail in Papago Park Sunday and got stuck in a cave. This is no fun.
No, not at all.
If you're going to go hiking and stuff, avoid caves.
Yeah.
Unless you're a professional spelunker, which I'm not.
No.
I wish I was.
And
that
even then,
like, cool.
I don't know, man. 27 Hours? Was that the name of the movie? Couldn't see it.
Oh, is that the one?
That's the one with,
the one,
like,
he had to cut
Franco.
His arm off?
Yeah.
No.
No, thanks.
Sounds very unappealing to me. One of the firefighters rappelled down the cave, placed the woman in a harness, and then rappelled her down to an area where they could walk the rest of the way out. Man, that's nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know about getting stuck in caves, guys. I've seen too many scary movies. There's things in caves.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just honesty.
It's
that's brutal honesty. There are monsters in caves. She's quoted as saying that it was kind of scary.
Yeah.
Rappelling down the mountain to get out of there, but she felt safe because the firefighter was holding her and knew that they were there to help, you know, her live.
That's
she
good.
Needed to live. There's nothing that feels safer than the warm embrace of a firefighter.
What? Huh?
Next story. This coming out of Paris.
This is creepy,
and
man.
This could be the creepiest one of the morning.
Yeah, there you go.
Workers were digging underneath a Paris supermarket, and instead of great discounts and deals, they found hundreds of skeletons.
Oh, good.
And by hundreds, I mean as many as 200 and more.
Wow.
That's a lot of bones.
Yeah.
Digging up bones.
No bones about it. That's terrifying.
That really is terrifying. I guess it was this little grocery store called Monoprix, and they were doing some renovations in January, and then they removed an underground wall.
Wow.
And discovered 200 skeletons. That's normal in Paris.
Wow, dude.
You never know what's lurking on the other side of the wall in the city of love.
I've never been.
It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, I know.
I gotta be honest, though. Huh. If I went to the supermarket to get a little cafe au lait,
yeah,
and then instead I looked over and saw a bunch of bones,
yeah,
I'd probably just leave and be like, this is not America. This doesn't happen in my home country.
That is fact. That is fact.
That is fact. So anyway, if you're going to go get a little food in Paris, be careful where you shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you might reach out to grab a fruit and instead grab the kneecap of a skeleton.
Wow. Amazing. To breaking news for Wednesday, March 3rd. Coming up in just a few, we'll get birthday shout-outs. You can give a shout-out studio at mystaticradio.com if you'd like to tell a loved one happy birthday. We'll also do This Day in History and, of course, the numero uno song on This Day in History.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, right now it's May. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Get ready for a jolt. Ready?
Wake up!
It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Wake up!
On Static Radio.
Oh, and here comes trouble. Here comes trouble. Here comes trouble.
Good morning.
Hello, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
It is Team Awesome Morning Party. We got a very special evening lined up for you tonight at Calvary Albuquerque. Special expound service. Pastor Skip is home. Praise God. We'll be talking about his trip to Iraq. Went over there with Reload Love, amazing ministry on this campus. Some exclusive video footage and photos tonight from his trip. He's going to be filling us in on what's happening on the ground in areas where ISIS is active. Special prayer time following the message. You don't want to miss this, man. It's going to be pretty amazing tonight.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Calvary Albuquerque. You can check out all the details. CalvaryABQ.org, but a very special expound this evening. Don't miss it. Speaking of missing things, sometimes famous people have birthdays, and we don't want to miss the opportunity to tell them on Facebook, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Is it time?
I hope so.
It's time for Birthdays with Doug.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
How are you guys doing?
Good, man.
So great.
Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. Today, Wednesday, March 4th, 2015, day 63. There are 302 days remaining in the year. First up this morning, a Canadian American actress, writer, and comedian.
This is Home Alone.
This is.
Actress. Catherine.
What's her name? Zeta Jones.
No.
Nope.
The mom.
Oh, Celine Dion. Mom? Celine Dion.
She was in Beetlejuice as well.
Yeah.
What's her name?
What's her name? I know it.
She's in a show
is
right
Catherine?
Now.
Is it Catherine?
It is Catherine.
Oh, what Hepburn. Is her name?
O'Hara.
Catherine O'Hara.
O'Hara.
She recently, there was an article about her running into Macaulay Culkin.
That was one of the best
yes.
things. And her husband actually nerded out and took a picture of Catherine O'Hara and Macaulay Culkin and posted it to like Instagram, Facebook, everywhere.
He walked up to her and goes, Mom.
Yeah. So rad.
Mom.
It'd been like 20 years or something crazy since they'd seen each other.
Did she say, Kevin?
We can only hope she did.
Catherine O'Hara, happy birthday. You are 58?
You are 60.
She is 61 years old today.
Right there.
Right there.
Next up.
Dumbo.
An American politician who has served as the 47th governor of the state of Texas from 2000 to 2015.
Dumbo.
Jeb Bush.
Nope.
That's Florida. Florida, dude.
Oh, that's Florida. That's right.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
He made a pretty decent run at the Republican nomination last time
Ross
around.
Ross Perot?
Rick Perry.
Oh.
Rick Perry. That dude is 54.
What happened to Rick Perry? He did something
no
crazy.
Idea.
He had one of those media...
Media moments?
Kerfuffles or whatever.
Kerfuffle?
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Careful with it. Be careful with it. Rick Perry is 55.
65 years old today. And the final birthday this morning.
Dan Patrick.
And he is a former professional soccer player.
Oh,
sorry. Widely considered to be the best player to ever come out of the
Donovan.
United States.
Landon
yes.
Donovan.
Landon Donovan.
Should have been on the U.S. team this last time.
Mm.
Landon Donovan. Yes, dude. He's 34.
I'll have to call Beenix and ask. I think he's 35.
He is 33 years old.
Ah!
Totally almost guessed 33.
On to dates.
Dang.
On this day in what year, the first U.S. president was inaugurated in Washington, D.C. That was Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson was number two.
Wait, what?
He was the second president.
So,
but he was the first one inaugurated in Washington, D.C.
In Washington, D.C., yes.
Okay, so this happened in 1892.
What? You
no.
mean 1792?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Like,
I meant
George Washington had a long run.
Yeah, dude, he lived forever. Have I not told you guys about Thomas Jefferson? That's why he's on all the dollar bills, yo. No, sorry. 1792.
1796.
1801.
Oh, my gosh.
Next up on this day in what year, Abraham Lincoln is inaugurated as the 16th president of the United States.
1862.
1861.
1861 is correct.
Oh!
Yes.
And finally, on this day, FDR was inaugurated as the 32nd president. In his inauguration speech, he delivered this famous line.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is...
Fear itself. Spoiler alert.
I wish you wouldn't ruin things.
Sorry, I spoiled it.
Gosh.
Spoiler alert.
The only thing we have to fear is you spoiling everything.
Sorry. Yeah, my bad. Fear itself, people. FDR, I was there, man. It was great. why that happened on this day? I don't know.
FDR.
When was FDR?
FDR was the New Deal, was he not? Or was that...
He was pre and most of World War II.
That's what I thought. Okay. I always get him and Teddy mixed up.
No, he was definitely the New Deal guy, I think. Because wasn't... He came out of the Depression.
He was all about getting the country out of Depression.
Okay.
1934.
1936.
1933.
Ah!
number one song for this morning.
I love this song.
REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to think, like, back...
Billy Madison.
No, I was immediately thinking of my mom. I'm like, I'm in the car. I'm a child.
This feeling any longer.
REO Speedwagon, number one song on this day in 19... What, 85?
I say 1986.
1985 is correct. Today is Courageous Follower Day. It's Discover What Your Name Means Day. International Scrapbooking Industry Day. March 4th and Do Something Day. National Grammar Day. National Pound Cake Day. National Snack Day. National Old Inauguration Day. Toy Soldier Day. And World Math Day.
Wow. A lot of stuff today.
A lot of stuff.
I like March 4th and Do Something Day. That's
cool.
It's
not Pancake Day.
It's not. That was yesterday. Thanks for telling us today, IHOP.
Yeah. Oh. Coming back, we're going to talk about why I believe Thomas Jefferson lived to be 1,000 years old and why I think he's on the $1 bill.
We'll also talk about science and how they found the best place to hide from zombies.
Oh, good.
Important stuff, you know. Because that's all we do.
That's right.
We give you the important things you need to know to get through your day.
Because you need to care about it.
Quick break, right back with some Raven Hill, some 30 Seconds to Mars, and more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now!
Static.
Good morning, Albuquerque. Let's take a quick look at traffic, see what's happening on the road. We have traffic lights flashing red at 4th Street and I-40 Frontage Road, and it looks like 40 eastbound on the interstate close to that is actually filling up with some traffic down to about 30 miles an hour. We've got construction work, Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard Southeast at Lomas, and finally, long-term road construction, San Mateo Boulevard at San Diego Avenue Northeast. That is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Coffee shop right here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669. That's 505-338-3669. And speaking of Calvary Albuquerque, special Expound service tonight right here at Calvary ABQ. Pastor Skip is back from Iraq, going to be doing a recap about his trip with Reload Love. You can expect some video footage, some photos. He's going to be filling us in on what's happening on the ground in areas where ISIS is still active. Very interesting. So, yeah, tonight's special Expound service right here at Calvary ABQ.
Yeah.
Good morning. It is Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve Mateo hanging out with you. Man.
Man.
We've been seeing a lot of stories dealing with this. We actually mentioned this yesterday during breaking news. Too much Facebook leads to envy and depression.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what a recent study conducted by researchers at Nanyang Technological University said. Heavy Facebook users experience envy, which ultimately will lead to extreme sadness. Now, looking at a new article that released this morning, it's, dude, this is all dealing with depression.
Yes.
According, well, to the world.
To the world.
Dr. Rosamund Langston, he's a lecturer in neuroscience at the University of Dundee. He actually conducted this study.
Okay.
Your sat nav is harming your brain.
What does that mean?
Your satellite navigation, Brock, yet with the time, sat-nav.
Sat-nav, harming your brain.
Regularly.
It's harming me.
Can't recall a friend's phone number?
Yeah.
Press the speed dial on your mobile.
Got it.
Don't know the way to the house?
Yep.
Use your sat-nav, brah.
Okay.
Modern technology has taken the strain off of our brains with the answers to so many problems available at the click of a button. But here's the dark side to all of our convenience. Sad eyes. Growing scientific evidence suggests a future where our brains may prematurely fail in later life through underuse.
Oh.
Thanks to Mother Nature's rule of we use it or we lose it. This last week, you got to guest speak.
I did.
At a church, and you were talking about that very thing, the talents.
Yep. Covered the parable of the talents.
Yeah.
And in that parable, you see a picture of how it's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
If you have something that you're good at and you don't do it, you lose it.
Yeah.
You don't get as good at it. You know, you don't get better at something by never doing it.
Exactly. And that's why Dr. Rosamund Langston, this lecturer in neuroscience, says we need to be using our brains more, using sat-navs. We wither away our caveman ability to familiarize ourselves with new surroundings by memorizing snapshots of them.
Mm.
So we're losing that. It's funny because before I had a smartphone, I've friends that I've had for a long, like our boy Steven from Amberlin. I've been friends with that guy since before smartphones.
Yeah.
So I could still call him up right now without having to dial his, without thinking about it, because
you
know his number. Because I actually had to memorize it because, well, I didn't have an iPhone yet, y'all. So
okay.
It's interesting because they're saying this is a new threat to our mental health as... Oh, okay. They've labeled it ementia.
Ementia?
Yeah, you know, like...
Like email?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like coming up with catchy names.
Yeah.
I came up with this one for myself. Mateo.
Memory-related problems and even depression linked to overuse of new technology. So here's what I'm seeing in all of these studies. Get off social media... Leave your smartphone behind, because apparently you and I today, we're going to, it's March 4th, today is March 4th and Do Something Day,
mm-hmm.
We are going to break our iPhones.
Okay, that sounds good, but
I'm just
not feeling great
Power
right
team.
Now. I've been trying to post
right.
the status for a little bit,
I
can't word it right.
I can do it!
I'm not feeling very
Power
well.
Power team!
Don't break that phone.
Sad side note, when
yes.
I was a kid, I had a Nintendo Entertainment System, and I was all about that video game system, and went and saw the Power Team, and totally went home and sledgehammered my NES.
Why?
True story.
Why?
I don't know, because it was what they were doing on stage. It was like, Jesus! We love you, Jesus!
Did they tell you to break your Nintendo?
Well, they were doing it. I'm not even being funny. I was 7 years old.
Did they make a game over joke?
Oh. Boop, 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 boop. Yeah, no.
No game over joke.
It was pretty sad.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. Smartphones, if you use them, you got to start putting them away, bro. Use
yeah.
your brain. Actually get directions from someone. I can't remember the last time somebody actually gave me directions. Yesterday I had to go see a friend, and he sent me his address in text form,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't get to his house today. I got there yesterday, and if somebody said, bro, your family's in danger, you have to find this house, I'd be like, let me check my recently searched, man. You can't use your phone. Well, then I'm hosed.
I
have
do it.
No idea how I got to that house yesterday.
Most places that I go, I have the ability to get there for the rest of my life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
That means you're still using your actual brain.
Yeah, I have a pretty good sense of direction.
See, I visiting my mom, she lives in Phoenix. That place is so crazy with like interstates and crossovers. And
Phoenix is crazy.
I can't.
Phoenix is crazy.
I have no idea how to get to my mom's house. I've been there multiple times.
Yeah.
Arizona's freaky, man.
It came in handy on tour because when, you know, depending on which part of the United States we were going to, I generally knew the interstates to take.
Yeah.
Like, in the more well-traveled parts, like the places that we had been. So we actually played the Phoenix area a lot, and I can still get around Phoenix pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know street names, but I know where to go.
505-338-3700. Do you think you could get by without your smartphone?
Ooh.
Because it's causing ementia. What's more important, finding the destination, arriving on time, or having your brain when you're older?
Mm.
I don't know. A few doctors on this. Last June, Dr. Hugo Spears, a senior lecturer in experimental psychology at University College London, scanned volunteers' brains as they navigated the maze of streets in Soho, central London. The scans revealed how we use two distinct areas of our brain to achieve the highly complex feat of mental calculation. He said at the beginning of a journey, a region of the brain called, wow, the interhorinum and the cortex.
Sounds good.
Right?
Yes.
Mentally constructs in as the crow flies line to the destination, right? Once we're underway, however, a different area of the brain computes the precise distance along the path to get there. That's the posterior hippocampus.
Oh, okay.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Which is also known for its role in forming memory. We're increasingly relying on this electronic arrow to lead us through the world, so we're not using that. Therefore, when we're old, we're not going to to be able to go anywhere, but that's okay because we're going to be old, right?
See, I think this is fun. Isn't this going to just be like Wally? Aren't we just going to have those carts that take us where we need to go anyway?
I feel like that's where we're headed thanks to the smartphone. So, thanks, iPhone. You're making me an idiot.
It's not going to be so much our phones anymore as it's going to be like our vehicles themselves. You've seen Minority Report. That's what I'm talking about. That's where we're going.
Amazing. Speaking of, some thrice for you. All the world is mad, and apparently it is.
It is. It's going to be cool, everybody looking like Tom Cruise.
Steve Austin Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Who's ready for some more Team Awesome Morning Party?
Anyone?
Anyone? Anyone?
Come on, don't be shy.
Well, tough, we're giving you more anyway.
Bingo, man, bingo!
Static Radio.
Welcome! Team Awesome Morning Party. Steve-O, Mateo.
Good morning.
Happy hump day.
Woo!
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. Our one-hour call-in show centered around you. Questions, thoughts. It's our relationship show.
Yeah, you know it.
Maybe you're dealing with something in your life, you just don't know how to handle it. Pastor Nate is here to take your questions. You can submit them now, studio@mystaticradio.com, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We understand that show is a little sensitive, so you know, if you'd like to be kept anonymous, the best way, of course, is through email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Speaking of Pastor Nate, his pops is back!
Yes.
Skip was away in Iraq with Reload Love, and tonight he's doing a special Expound service at Calvary Albuquerque. A recap about his trip to Iraq. You can expect video footage, photos. He's going to be filling us in on what's happening on the ground in areas where ISIS is still active and prominent. There's going to be a special prayer time following the message, something you don't want to miss. That's tonight, 7 p.m. right here at Calvary Albuquerque. You can check out all the details at calvaryabq.org. We're going to a random phone call.
All right.
Because we still can. Static.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Joelle the Nanny.
What was that earlier where it started playing an Owl City song and then cut to a culture shock?
It was weird, right? Yeah, that's called computers.
Yeah.
That's called computers.
Apparently computers don't like Owl City.
It started playing the Foo Fighters and Owl City at the same time. Thankfully, The Rock choked out Owl City.
It's true.
And was victorious.
Isn't that weird?
It's so weird how that happened.
Not fair. It's messing with my heart.
It's kind of like a wolf bite.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
We will totally play some Owl City for you, Joelle.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Have a good day, guys.
All right. Bye. That's funny.
That's good.
New computer system. Sometimes great, sometimes not so much.
Or is it it's new computer system versus old...
Hey.
Users.
Hey.
Not you. All of us. This thing's outsmarting all of us.
This is true.
And speaking of outsmarting us.
Gosh. You know, we were talking a minute ago about science and technology leading to depression and Facebook, social media in general. And I came across this disturbing Facebook trend that, as a parent, freaks me out, man. I didn't even know this was real. But apparently there is a relatively rare but freakishly disturbing online trend of role-playing with photos of other people's children.
Oh!
Yeah. Lindsay Paris, she is a mom. She was actually started a new blog called Redhead Baby Mama. So she was excited when she started her Facebook page about the blog.
Yeah.
She said the feeling quickly turned into shock after she clicked on the name of a woman who'd given a thumbs up on a photo of hers. She gave it a like. And so she said, oh, I got a like. I'm going to go see who this is. Well, when she clicked over, the stranger had made Lindsay's toddler her homepage photo and was presenting Lindsay's son as her own child.
On the internet.
On the internet. She said, I flew into a mother lion rage and I burst into tears, end quote. She talked to Yahoo Parenting of this incident. It happened in 2012. Hmm. She's just now speaking out on it. She said, quote, she was pretending that he was her own and commenting on when he was going to start teething. Her friends were saying they loved his hair. She was treating him as her own.
Wow.
And that was the most petrifying thing. I didn't know people did this, end quote. Well, she soon learned that, yes, this is actually a freaky online trend.
This is a phenomenon.
Yeah. The blogger said she did the only thing she could. She messaged the woman, who turned out to be a 16-year-old girl in California.
What?
Yeah. The teen apologized 2 days after Paris's forcefully polite note asking her to take the photo down. She said, quote, "She said she'd always wanted a redheaded son, and I didn't mean to hurt you," end quote. So this teenager took a picture of somebody else's kid, posed it as their own kid on Facebook, and then this mom uncovered this trend that's happening online right now.
Wow.
Yeah, another mother, she lives in Nashville. Her name's Ashley B. She preferred to remain anonymous.
Oh, I know her.
Yeah, okay. She said she suffered a similar experience, typically referred to as digital kidnapping or virtual kidnapping. This last summer, she clicked on a Facebook update of a photo she'd taken of one of her daughters and had been shared by someone unfamiliar. A photo of her daughters was shared by someone unfamiliar. She said it took her to the page of a man in China. Quote, "The page was in Chinese, so I couldn't read any of it, but I saw that he had a few thousand followers, and he had shared my picture. I started scrolling and noticed he had a lot of pictures of young girls. Scared and shocked, that shared link went back to her personal page, where she had her address, where she had all her personal information, because she didn't realize it was open. So, hey, users of Facebook."
Wow. No wonder we're getting depressed. People are stealing our lives.
Yeah, stealing our lives, stealing our identity, and we need to be careful about what we're presenting on Facebook. I remember when I first joined, I think it was MySpace.
Yes.
You put your information up there. I didn't know. Phone numbers up there.
Well, it was still new then.
Right. So I was just putting in my information, thinking, oh, I'm just putting in my information. That was until a listener called my cell phone.
Yep.
Because my cell phone number was on my, I had no idea that people could see it because, well, it was the beginning of social media and I was an idiot apparently. I had no idea. But next thing you know, I'm getting like phone calls from random strangers like, "Hey bro, on the show today, you said this."
Really?
Yeah. I actually had a message once on my home phone. It was like on my answering machine from a listener who didn't like something I said, called my home phone number.
Wow.
I shortly thereafter got rid of the home phone, realizing who has a home phone anymore.
It's true.
Landlines
are of the past.
Yeah. So, but with tens
digital
of thousands.
Kidnapping.
Yeah. Tens of thousands of Instagram and Twitter posts, hashtag baby RP. For baby role play or hashtag kid RP.
That is so strange.
They take other people's children and use them as basically story pieces for their fake lives.
Wow.
Role playing your kids.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Can you send me that picture of Brody you took yesterday?
Stop it.
No reason.
More than 1,000 people have signed the 2014change.org petition calling for Instagram to, quote, "put an end to the baby and child role play accounts," end quote. But it seems that no image, no child is off limits. Earlier this last month, a Texas father shared a story of his daughter's picture being stolen off a social media site he'd started as a community page for families with children who have a condition marked by difficulty swallowing. Can you say that?
Where are we?
WebMD, bro.
Oh,
come
dysphagia.
On, thank you.
Dysphagia.
Thank you. You got that.
Thanks.
Man. Yeah, so Paris and Ashley, those two moms, for instance, they actually now use a privacy app called KidsLink to share photos with friends and family whom they've approved to view images of their kids. This is crazy!
You know, I ran up against this.
You did!
The first time it had ever happened to me. Yeah, a couple years ago, like right after I moved to the Albuquerque area. And you have to remember, me being in a band for so long,
right.
I'm totally used to random people like coming up after the show and saying, "Can we get a picture with you?"
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, sure, why not? And then you next thing you know, you're all over
because
somebody's social media.
In both of the bands that I played with, that's where the real quote unquote ministry would happen because you could actually get to know
interact with people. Yeah.
And see
absolutely.
Get a little window into their life, and then their little window into your world was taking a picture.
Yeah.
So pictures were not, you know, I was like, I'd snap a picture of whatever.
Right.
So then we're at a baseball game.
Yep.
And I totally took a picture of this cool little redhead kid running around with these big old sunglasses.
Looking tough.
He was looking tough and
awesome.
Looking hilarious.
He's grown. I saw him this week on the
field.
I don't
want to see him
weird.
Again. I can't do it. Anyway, I took a picture of him and posted it. And then later that night, sure enough, the mom was like, "I did not give you permission to post a picture of my son on your Instagram."
Right.
And I was like, whoa.
Right.
So I apologized to her.
It turned out well.
It turned out. Cool. Fine.
Yeah.
So we saw him after
yeah,
the fact.
Yeah, family's totally cool. But yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that.
No, not at all. I wasn't claiming him as my own or anything. I just thought he was a funny looking kid.
I had a friend. We were up in Santa Fe just hanging out, you know, a few families, and I snapped some pictures of all of our kids and posted a photo of it, and he had asked me to take it down because he was very particular about allowing images of his children online.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never been that protective. I never, and so it's like, oh.
See, Don and I, we're going opposite. We're going to inundate the world internet with our kid. And if people take it and they're like, this is our kid, we're going to be like, that's fine. That's not your kid. You can pretend all you want, but that's not your kid.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be so much baby lavender all over the internet, people are going to be really upset. They're going to get sick of it. And then they're going to say, I'm sick of seeing this cute little kid.
Right.
Cutest little kid in the world. It's got Mateo's nose. It's beautiful.
I think if you go to my Instagram, pretty much 50% of all of my photos are Brody in particular.
Mm.
Like, seriously.
Brody.
Last thing I posted was the video of him brushing his teeth. There's nothing more to it than him brushing his teeth. But apparently we need to be more cognizant of privacy measures when it comes to our kids. 505-338-3700, the phone number. Maybe you're a parent and you've dealt with this. We'd love to hear from you. Denise De Rosa, she's a program manager at the Family Online Safety Institute, said, quote, lots of people don't seem to fully understand how to use the privacy settings, end quote. She said it's hugely important to stay up to date on them because there's a Children's Online Privacy Protection Act that imposes certain requirements on operators of websites or online services directed to children under 13 years of age.
Mm.
And on operators of other websites or online services that have actual knowledge that they're collecting personal information from a child under 13. That's according to the Federal Trade Commission. But she points out that if you're posting pictures of children publicly, the law can't do what it's intended to do. You have to take responsibility. You have to share photos as safely as possible because, as we're seeing, anyone can take these pictures of your children and use them for whatever purpose they want.
Right.
That's crazy!
That is crazy.
I didn't grow up in this world.
It'll be interesting to see the type of legislations that get passed over the next few years when it starts. Because internet, well now, lately in the news, it's been net neutrality. That's been a huge thing.
Uh-huh.
And you've got people on both sides saying, well, this is, I asked DJ Bossman Dan to explain it to me a little bit because he's super tech savvy. So
he knew
what was going on. He knew the haps. So he told me about it. And it's good on some fronts because now people can't like throttle your service and you don't have cable internet providers being jerks, but at the same time, it's like, well, but it's also regulated by the government now. And as we all know, as soon as something gets regulated by the government, it just turns, it's top dollar at that point, you know?
It's going to be interesting to see.
Like, it will be interesting. So internet privacy is a huge issue that is coming up more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
As they're linking more and more things to depression, and they're linking more and more, you know, I mean, you had a kid commit suicide the other day, and they go back and look at, like, I think there were text messages, but it happens a lot over social media, so a little different, but kind of the same. The influence that voices can have towards...
Especially when it's a negative voice telling you, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you can't... We take those in, unfortunately, because they become overwhelming, because when you're getting a mass influx of that... You kind of get choked out.
You do. You get choked out. You get burned out. It's important that even when we are critical of something, that we handle it with grace.
Yeah,
and not treat it like it's the worst thing in the world and it should never have existed.
Amen.
Yeah.
Dude, this is incredible. Disturbing Facebook trend. Stolen kids' photos. There's even hashtags. I'd never heard of it. So parents, be mindful.
Be watchful.
Always watchful. It's crazy. We got to take a quick break. Coming back, that Owl City by request for Joelle the Nanny.
Yes, ma'am.
We'll play it for you. We also got, of course, Comics Corner coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. If you want to chime in on the topic, 505-338-3700, the phone number. Quick break. Right back with more Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.
Don't touch that dial. Listen to
Team Awesome Morning Party.
Cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Hola. Let's take a look at traffic. I'm going to refresh this real quick because I don't trust it. All right, check it out. Paseo and 25, a lot of congestion getting on to 25. And getting off of 25, it's down to about 16 miles an hour around the intersection. Also, there's an accident. The left lane is blocked. Paseo del Norte East at Coors. So watch out for that. We've got traffic lights flashing red on a frontage road at 4th Street. That's the I-40 frontage road. Also, a bit of congestion where Coors and 40 meet. And finally, construction work, Highway 47, Broadway Boulevard, southeast at Lomas. That's your look at traffic right now.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. Coffee shop here on the Calvary Albuquerque campus. Providing breakfast, yummies, coffee, all the goods.
Coffee and goods and whatnot.
You can also stop by for an early dinner tonight before Expound. The service here on Wednesday nights at Calvary Albuquerque tonight. Pastor Skip, he's back. He's in town. He's going to be doing a recap about his trip to Iraq with Reload Love. He's going to be filling us in on what's going down in the ground areas where ISIS is still active, because that's where they were, bro. Special prayer time following the message. Of course, standard service time, 7 o'clock. So it'll be broadcast on Static Radio tonight, but I highly encourage you to get your booty down here.
Get your booty down here.
An incredible, incredible evening. So you can catch the service tonight, 7 p.m. Pastor Skip Heitzig, exclusive video footage and photos from what's going on. As we said, where ISIS is active.
Whoa.
Dude. Speaking of villains.
Yeah.
You ready to do this?
Really glad you said speaking of villains, not speaking of ISIS.
Okay.
Because I was like, he's about to hit the Comics Corner intro. Why would he say ISIS? But you said villain. So that's good. Let's do it.
Oh, nerds.
To the idiot mobile.
Hey, it's Comics Corner, and I really want to read them because they're really, really cool. And
are you clapping?
Really
yeah, like
green.
Hey, what?
Comics Corner!
Let's do it, nerd.
Let's do it.
Welcome to Comics Corner. It is our little nerd segment where we talk about all things fun and awesome dealing
nerd culture.
With comic books.
That's right.
Dude, Vincent D'Onofrio yesterday.
Oh, no!
They have officially released the first photo of the Kingpin.
Vincent D'Onofrio, no!
Did you see it?
I think I did. Maybe I didn't.
I think he looks great.
Let me look.
Brand new series releasing in April on Netflix, Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Of course, Marvel's first go at a... Not first go, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter.
True. But this is Marvel and Netflix's first go at a companionship, at a partnership. And I am so excited.
Me
because
too.
If you listen to this, you know how much I've gotten into the Daredevil comic book. I remember when I first started reading it, back with issue number one, and I remember saying, I really like this book and I don't know why. And then somebody emailed in or called and they're like, well, can you tell me why you like it? And I was like, I really can't tell you because I'm not sure.
Right.
But now I know. It's because the writing is great. I love the way the character deals with his, like, chronic depression. I can identify
I
with
love that.
That
they I love that they're doing more stuff like that in comic books and raising awareness on different issues.
It's good.
Especially considering this morning we've been talking a little bit about depression and... man, social media playing a part in that, and considering most of the world is on social media, we got to be careful.
We do.
What we put is into our bodies. Absolutely.
Yeah, he looks good, man.
Vincent D'Onofrio playing the Kingpin in the new Daredevil series on Netflix. I am interested to see how it's going to work out. Netflix partnering with Marvel. They're going to be doing a few different television series. This is their first go at a television series based upon an individual superhero.
Yeah.
As we know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., fantastic TV show, which was back last night.
You watched it and I didn't get to.
Oh, dude, it came back last night. And here's the thing, though. It reminded me of a little of my hesitancy for this Daredevil series for this reason.
Why?
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., for those who don't keep up with it, is on Tuesday nights on ABC. Agent Coulson and the gang. A lot of characters from the Captain America films.
Yes.
As well as Marvel Universe in general, whether it's Nick Fury, you know, Kobe Smulders has made a couple appearances. We know next week Sif from the Thor series is going to be on again.
And it's a twist.
Oh, man, I'm excited.
Yes.
So that's fun, but... it took a hiatus. It was gone for weeks.
It was.
And came back strong.
But it gave us the fantastic Agent Carter.
Right.
Well, that show was great.
And it was a show that you had to wait a week for, right? Like comic books, you wait a month in between issues. Well, Netflix and Marvel, they announced this new series on I believe, April 11th, right? It's releasing mid-April.
I think so.
They're putting the entire series up immediately to where you could essentially binge watch an entire season.
And
in
you know
week.
Who's going to? This guy.
Right. We're probably just going to have like a popcorn night and just call it a Daredevil Day.
Daredevil Day.
Daredevil.
Daredevil.
And we're going to watch the whole series in a day.
Can we call it Daredevil and yes. invite our friends?
Yes.
I'm going to make a Facebook event. I can't invite you because you're not on Facebook.
I'm not on Facebook.
But I'm going to be like, Daredevil.
I can't have another thing that's depressing in my life, apparently. So
all day Daredevil, all day long. Yeah. And night.
Daredevil.
It's going to be great. Doug?
So I don't know how
Daredevil?
I feel about that.
Maybe.
They're okay. They're putting out an entire TV series like in a day
yeah.
to where you could binge watch it, and then you got to, what, wait a year?
I'm excited about it.
Man.
Here's why. Okay. Because it's not just waiting a year for Daredevil specifically, but we'll have to wait a few months. Okay. Yeah. No, you know what? I'm throwing that out the window. Here's why. Daredevil is hitting in April. You're going to be able to binge watch it and then go back and watch and pick up Easter eggs. Then, boom, May 1st, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Ah, touche.
I don't. And then the whole time we're going to have S.H.I.E.L.D. going under all this yeah. stuff. Then the
Ant-Man.
Summertime will hit. Ant-Man will come up. I got Jurassic World in there, so that's a bit of a reprieve for me. But Ant-Man's going to happen at the end of the summer. And then in the fall, a.k.a. Jessica Jones on Netflix
okay.
with Kristen Ritter. And that series is going to be great. It's going to tie into Daredevil a lot because the Purple Man,
yeah.
played by David Tennant from yeah. Doctor Who fame. I have never watched that. I'm like, Doctor Who? Because I've never seen it. But whatever, all you Doctor Who people with your
right.
phone booths, you're excited about it.
Yeah.
You know? And then, and I want to talk about this, the next Netflix series to be announced after aka Jessica Jones is Luke Cage.
Wow.
And the guy that's starring in Luke Cage came out this week and said some stuff, and people are kind of like, what does that mean? He came out and he gave an interview and he said Marvel and Netflix's take on Luke Cage is geared towards an adult audience, okay. which is something that will be different from the MCU or the Marvel Cinematic Universe that you've seen before on the big screen. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about the Netflix-Marvel partnership that's going on, and we have Daredevil coming in, we got AKA Jessica Jones
yeah.
happening later, and now I'm talking about Luke Cage, which will be the third series that happens. He says he's read the comics, the Luke Cage comics. And if you know anything about him, the most recent iteration of these was the Mighty Avengers. But before that, there was Marvel Max.
And he was on. He was in charge of the Thunderbolts as well.
Right. Luke did you ever read the Marvel Max comics?
I never did because Marvel Max was basically like, hey, guys, if you like blood and gore, if you like adult comic books where
yeah.
people get killed. So I never really
they're
got.
They're kind of like, yeah. it's not like it's, we're not saying it's adult like, you know,
no,
bad,
right.
bad. We're saying right. it's like the more R-rated side of yeah. comic books, if you yeah. can have that.
Although last night I will say this, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah,
the ABC show that's like, hey, family,
ABC.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., oh, it's so good. There was a moment where we all went, whoa, and had a because we watched that with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And last night there was more blood than I've ever seen on that show.
Really?
Yeah. It was very interesting to see the turn that they took on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'd be curious to see what parents thought of that because, yeah, we watch it with our kids, and normally it's decent. Last night, yeah, there was some blood.
Whoa.
There will be blood.
There will be
and
blood.
And there was.
That's what
no
I
cool
say
mustaches.
Every time I see Beans, the cat. I'm like, there will be blood, Beans, because inevitably he scratches me.
Yeah.
I've got 3 scratches on me today. It's like, come on, Beans, give me a break.
So Daredevil releasing this next month. Marvel, obviously, has made some big announcements. They finally revealed the first photo of Vincent D'Onofrio, who will play the Kingpin, the main villain.
Looks good.
In the Daredevil series. Excited about that.
He looks good. Also, yeah. in Marvel Sony Spider-Man news.
Ugh.
This is really interesting. Because recently, Sony Pictures as a whole, they booted Amy Pascal. She was in charge. They
yeah.
brought in this other dude. Who he's got kind of a shady history with comic book films because
yeah.
the ones he's been in charge of were not the greatest Wolverine X-Men Origins. The Fantastic Four pictures, which I don't
for
really
children,
care for. But you
great.
Liked them. You
I
liked them.
For kids.
So anyway, he's in charge of Sony.
Yeah.
But we've got this Spider-Man, Marvel, Disney, Sony partnership.
And they're taking over the world.
It's all about Spider-Man. So now, the Russo brothers, who did Captain America the Winter Soldier and are rumored to be doing the 2 Infinity War movies,
yeah.
have just signed a 3-year first look deal with Sony Picture Entertainment.
Really?
What does that mean To be honest, I don't know, but I'll speculate all day long because that's what I'm good at. Here's what they had to say. They say, we're thrilled to make a home at Sony Pictures and to be partnering with the entire team. The studio has created an environment that is not only collaborative, but truly filmmaker-friendly, and we're excited to begin developing both new and ambitious material with them. This is interesting because no specific projects are mentioned, but during the Sony hack, there were emails that came out where the Russo brothers were getting in touch with Amy Pascal saying, hey, let us produce Spider-Man. Let us produce Spider-Man. Here's my speculative brain. I think this is Marvel's sneaky way of controlling Spider-Man.
That'd be great.
It would be great because the Russo brothers killed it with Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
They've done a fantastic. That was one of the best films of the year.
It
not
was
even comic
so
book
good.
Film. People loved it, and some were expecting it to be nominated for Oscars. So
here we go. Here we go, everybody.
Yeah.
This is my conspiracy theory about this. Sony has final say with Spider-Man. They get to choose the actor. They get to choose, basically, they have final say.
Yeah.
Marvel has heavy, heavy influence, and if Sony's smart, they'll listen to Marvel. Now, what if you were Marvel and you were like, you know what, though? Sony, historically, has not made the coolest decisions, so what we need to do is have some boots on the ground.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you've got these two cats that are totally up with Marvel, and they're working with Sony. They get to make final say.
Be awesome.
They have a role in the decision.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is Mateo is excited.
Yeah, as am I. Very excited. So for those that don't know, Sony, you know, owns the rights to Spider-Man. Disney, Marvel, they really wanted Spider-Man to be included because Spider-Man's really their biggest property, and he's not part of the cinematic universe. So it'd be like Burger King, who's, you know, the only thing they got going for them at this point is the Whopper, right? And so they're like, McDonald's, we're going to share the Whopper with you. You can produce our Whopper and sell it there, but we want to still have control of how the Whopper's made, and we'll make money on it together. There you go. I just equated it to the fast food world.
I love it. I love fast food. I don't. But if I did, I would love it. Also, it's interesting in this press release about the Russo brothers, there is a quick hit about the webhead indeed expected, quote, to make his first appearance for the studio in Captain America Civil War.
Man.
Is that a final confirmation that that's the first movie we're going to be seeing Spider-Man in? Because the whole deal was Spider-Man will first make an appearance in a Marvel film, and that will lead to his own Sony film.
Man, a third reboot already.
I don't care.
Like this,
if they get it right, I don't care.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Our kids are going to be so confused. Like, wait, I thought Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, who is this kid?
No, no, no. This is what you do, children. You skip the Amazing Spider-Man double. You skip those two movies. Here's why. Because you cover the first trilogy. Well, actually, you play Spider-Man 1, Spider-Man 2. You skip Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
You skip Amazing Spider-Man. You skip Amazing Spider-Man 2. And then you go to these movies. And then, like, on a bad, like, if your kid's sick, you go, oh, yeah, there were these other Spider-Man movies if you're not feeling good. Because then they're kind of sick, so they won't remember them.
It feels like the Batman, Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney thing, though. You know, where you've got three different actors, and by the end of the day, people just didn't care about Batman and Robin.
But we still care about James Bond.
Yeah.
We still care about James Bond.
That's a really good...
And if it's done correctly... You know when I didn't care about James Bond? Pierce Brosnan. I thought it was fun, but it wasn't like I was stoked.
You're talking GoldenEye and...
I know, but I wasn't stoked.
And
then as soon as Daniel Craig came into the picture, it was like, I can't wait for a new James Bond movie.
Yeah.
And so that's what I'm saying with Spider-Man. If they can nail it, then it'll be like, yes, those movies don't matter. Who cares? These are awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I
think. Dude, it's been a big week. You're listening to Comics Corner on Team Awesome Morning Party. We got a lot of comics to review, and wow. I was a little surprised that, you know, as we talk Marvel, we're big Marvel fans here. A lot of our comics came from DC and or an independent publisher this week.
Yeah.
So,
well, and part of that is because poor Astro Zombies got gypped a box of comics.
That's
so,
right.
My friends, we're sad to report we're not going to be reviewing Princess Leia number 1.
I know.
We're not going to be reviewing... What was the other Marvel comic?
There was another big Marvel Avengers World.
Avengers World.
Yeah.
I don't think they got Spider-Woman number 5. I don't know if we were even going to get that one. But there were a bunch of comics and an Image comic called Nameless.
Yeah.
That's actually the name.
Yeah.
I know it's meta, but we can handle it. Number 2, we didn't get that.
That's what happens when there's crazy snowstorms and people don't know what to do and shipping and,
just lose it.
We got what we got this week. We'll kick it off from Image Comics, an independent publisher. There's a new book called Descender. We get a lot of questions from listeners saying, hey, man, we love the Comics Corner segment, but we don't know where to begin. We're interested in getting into comics. I loved this movie. I like sci-fi or whatever. A brand new series released by Image Comics called Descender. It's written by Jeff Lemire, who also is writing Hawkeye. He did Sweet Tooth. He's done some good comic runs. And the art is Dustin Nguyen. It's very watercolor. Watercolors and just dreamy. Really enjoyed the art. And it's a sci-fi adventure, if you will, based upon this little boy named Tim, who is actually a robot. Unfortunately, in this world, there were these giant Terminator-like robots that tried to take out humanity. And so now robots or androids have been annihilated and are illegal and should be deconstructed upon sight. Well, this little android boy, his little sweetheart named Tim, he was asleep during that time. He was shut down. So he awakes in this world where he's no longer a little boy in need of service. He is a robot who is exiled, and everybody basically wants to kill him. But he doesn't necessarily know this yet.
Right. It looks like it's going to be a great series.
It reminded me of Blade Runner. It reminded me just some incredible ideas in here. So if you're a fan of sci-fi, some great commentary on identity, who we are.
Yeah.
What matters about our identity.
What we are at our core.
Yeah, that's it. Like, what we are at our core. Is it based upon what others believe about us or say about us? Because, we know at times it can be very easy to take what others say about you so personally that you tend to want to shut down, turn off like these robots. But at our core, we've got to have our identity in Christ, mm-hmm. And so what does he say about us? Because he is our creator. And so it's interesting in this story, the creator who created this little boy robot.
That's not what I made him for.
Right.
You'll see.
It's amazing.
You need to read the book.
So, big fan of this brand new book. It's called Descender, released today, Image Comics. And another thing about it, Image Comics, great quality paper, and it's cheaper.
Man, can we complain just for a brief note? Play the complain music.
What's the complain
music? Find one.
Okay.
I just want to complain. We'll call it the Comics Corner Complaint. For today, play Drops of Jupiter.
Drops of Jupiter.
Because I want a positive vibe with my complaint. Okay. Doug, this is for you.
All right.
So anyway, I don't understand Marvel, and I don't understand DC. And here's why.
They are the biggest comic book companies in the industry.
Yeah, they are the monoliths.
The two giants.
They are the ones. They are the Walmart and the Target.
That's exactly who they are.
That's who they are.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. One company puts out fantastic stories with the worst paper stock you can imagine.
Yesterday we were at Astro Zombies Comic Shop and Max, the manager there, was handing us comics and then he rubbed his eyebrow and his eyebrow turned blue because he had been handling this comic book.
Marvel!
And the ink bled onto his hand. That's how poor quality the comics have become.
Yeah. User beware, if you're going to handle a Marvel comic, touch it the least amount of possible.
Somehow, wear gloves.
Wear gloves. Because you're going to get ink on your hands. And the paper they use
is
terrible.
Struggle is real.
Terrible paper. It's terrible paper. Terrible paper. And it's got a cover price of $4 to $5. What's up with that? Then you have DC, who has incredible paper stock. The materials are great. And then the stories aren't that good. It's like, oh, cool. Some of them are. JLA or Justice League, great story.
Absolutely.
Batman's doing good right
also
now.
Also a buck more, that's probably why.
But on the whole, you know. But then you have Image. Image is the third tier.
Probably like we need to play some good music. Oh,
who would Image be?
Image is Walgreens.
We got Walmart. Yeah, maybe. They're more of they're Whole Foods.
Okay.
That's what they are. They're not like hipster, but they're like Indian original.
They are. All original stories. There's no, taking other people's superheroes and trying to fit them into anything. It's all original stories.
That's what Image is. And their paper stock is great. Mm-hmm. Their comics are usually double size of Marvel or DC, and the cover price is less money.
Maybe that's why we like them, because it's indie and it's different, and the stories are original. And like we said, it's easy to pull something out of. Descender, again, a boy, this robot, who is created for a purpose, but because the world sees him as a threat, just wants to destroy him, and the creator... who created him for a different purpose is like, wait, man, you have purpose. You have a place in this universe. And so that was just issue one. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and a little bit of a disappointment about Image. The Dying and the Dead number two, which we both raved about, the Image series from Jonathan Hickman, was supposed to come out today.
Yeah,
my boy Matt, if you're listening, they pushed it back to a couple
weeks.
2 weeks? March 18th, but... supposedly, issue 2 and 3 are coming out on the same day, which I'm totally cool.
Totally okay with that.
Bring it on, Image.
Jonathan Hickman, who writes... Now, speaking of creators and writing, it's interesting to see. Right now, the DC Universe is preparing to end. They're doing something called Convergence, where essentially everything's being wiped away. And we know this because of the media and because DC Comics has already said, hey guys, we're going to reboot everything. But because of that, you have comic books that... in the meantime, they still have to make money. So it's like, you know that this change is coming, but there's nothing you can do with it because they've already begun to write these stories. So this week, a few comics from DC, Grayson, which they're trying their best. They're doing a good job. However, it's kind of fallen short because you know, in the end, it doesn't really matter because it's kind of all for naught. But they're still trying to tell good stories. Thus, Batman Detective Comics this week. And I gotta say, this month, DC Comics is paying homage to great films in cinematic history. So Detective Comics this week, the cover was a Matrix film cover.
Yes.
From the movie poster.
And Grayson, is that Pulp Fiction?
No, that was Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon.
So there was a few this week. I know Green Lantern was Space Odyssey. Harley Quinn, her comic release this week was Jailhouse Rock.
Yep.
So they were doing some cool stuff. Now, my feature for this
week... You need to play Sad Eyes.
I feel like I do. You're absolutely right.
Guys, this guy has been sad about this for...
Months.
And legit... the past couple of days, he's been down.
My absolute favorite comic book... from DC, and my favorite comic book character in the DC universe. His name's Swamp Thing. I know, guys. Really boring. He is a plant. He is the avatar of the green. He's the protector of Earth, essentially. He is the world's greatest vegan.
He is.
Actually, I don't know if that's true, because vegans eat plants. He's a plant.
Oh. Hey, support plant life. Eat meat.
Well, Swamp Thing number 40 releases today. Charles Soule, he's been building up to this double-sized issue, which just so happens to be the final issue of Swamp Thing ever, because though it's a fantastic book, and though it's one of the it's tops every month as far as the critical reviews, people love the storyline. Because of lack of funding, this book got canceled. Thankfully, the writers knew in advance that it was coming to a close, so rather than just continue writing some same old story, they decided to go out epically, and I will say it was one of the best, if not the very best, final issues of a comic series I've ever read. Mm. You know, movies, they know ahead of time the beginning and the end. Sometimes with stuff like this, they don't know that it's coming to an end, so... they're not writing to an end. And we were talking yesterday with our boss that writing to an end, knowing you're out, is very important.
It is.
These guys knew they're out. They knew they were ending this run, that the comic was going to end. And I don't want to give anything away. I will just say it was one of the best comic book reads.
It is meta and it is beautiful.
It is absolutely beautiful.
I haven't read it, but he told me about it and I was like, that sounds incredible.
It was incredible. It was all to the point of a story. What is the purpose of storytelling in general? And it spoke volumes to the idea of life. There's reproduction, there's evolution, there's death. Plants, animals, machines, they have their place, so shouldn't art have its place as well? Art is reproduced. If it's not reproduced well, it or doesn't gain significant attention or enough attention to survive, it dies, just like a plant, just like an animal. And so it took this angle of artwork in general. And I thought it was absolutely fascinating. Of course, they talk about stories over time and what stories stand the test of time. And of course, we know the greatest story of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that story, 2,000 plus years ago, our Savior died on the cross for us, and that story is still the strongest story you'll hear for a reason. There's a reason why it has stood the test of time. One, because it's the Lord, and, you know, it's a solid story.
It's the Lord.
Yeah. So it was a fascinating read on the Swamp Thing, and this run comes to an end. In a powerful way.
Powerful
I really
way.
Enjoyed it.
So you give... That's probably going to be
a 10.
Your,
that's
your pick of the week.
For me,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay, Marvel news, or Marvel comics this week. Again, we didn't get to read Princess Leia number 1.
Yeah, new series, Princess Leia.
We didn't get to read Spider-Woman number 5.
Thank you, FedEx, or whoever.
Yeah, whoever it was. There were a few comics that we didn't get to read, but we did get to read Hawkeye number 1, or all new Hawkeye number 1, actually written by the same dude that wrote that Descender series.
Yeah.
This was a great comic.
Was it, as far as it goes with starting a brand new series, is it one where you can just jump on? And
yeah, you're covering two stories. I love the way it's written because it's paralleling an event from Hawkeye's childhood with what's happening right now.
So it's like Arrow, and there's the TV difference- show.
Yes. Whoa. But,
and he's got a bow and arrow.
But this is same story structure, but he's a kid.
Right.
You know, he's not like...
Right.
And it's completely different. Scenario.
Yeah.
But yeah, same trope.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
So anyway, the art in the flashback is different than what's happening currently.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a Hawkeye super fan to know what's going on.
Yeah.
There's a character in here, I don't know who she is, but I'm sure I will learn more and more as I keep reading. Well written, fantastic art. Also, Guardians Team Up number 1.
Yeah, if you liked the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, they're trying to make more money off of it, essentially.
Yeah, they are. This is like the 7th Guardian series that started or something.
It used to just be Guardians of the Galaxy, and then they decided, Star-Lord needs his own comic.
Let's do this.
Rocket needs his own comic. Groot and Rocket together need a comic.
Yeah.
Now all the Guardians need a team up with other people.
Give them all a comic.
$5.
So this is a team up, and honestly, I don't think it was worth the cover price. I don't care about it. It's just a team up book. If you're a completist, you want all of your Guardian stuff, then pick it up. If you're new to comics or you're getting back in, this is a great way to meet the Guardians and meet the Avengers, because that's who they team up with. I'll say that.
Okay.
So if you're getting back in the game, or if you're brand new and you want to know what's up, this is a good jumping on point.
Man, speaking of Avengers and writing to an end, we've been talking about that. Jonathan Hickman, over the course of the last couple years, has been writing for this end, Secret Wars.
Yes.
Time runs out. In 2 months, the Marvel Universe, they're basically changing everything as well. All continuity will stay the same, but Avengers have been building up to this thing, and we're getting to, like, the penultimate, hey, it's about to go down. If you care about comics in general, if you've been following along, Avengers is one you really need to read, because it's going to guide you into everything that's about to come, everything that's hitting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, I honestly, my pick of the week was Avengers.
It was fantastic.
But I'm not all, you know, up on Swamp Thing, so I can't go in there and...
Simple fact that it was the final issue of Swamp Thing, and they did such an incredible job wrapping up an amazing story. 40 issues of Swamp Thing. But all good things must come to an end, apparently.
That's true.
So, at
Part
least in comic books. So, there you go. That is your Comics Corner. Comics Corner, of course, brought to you by Astro Zombies, 3100 Central Avenue Southeast, right here in Albuquerque. AstroZombies.com or 232-7800 for that. We got to take a break. Coming up! 9 o'clock hour. That means Shock Therapy Live with our boy, Pastor Nate Heitzig. We also got some Imagine Dragons on the way and some Dustin Kinstrew right around the corner. It's Team Awesome Morning Party.
Now.
Static.